All right, one taken out. We got this, right? More or less.
Totally got this.
Okay. Cut that.
Good afternoon, KUOW.
You're listening to Radioactive.
I'll buzz you in.
Hello and welcome to Radioactive's May podcast. I'm Anne Kane. I was in Radioactive summer program back in 2008.
And I'm Yalfiyet Bazabe. I was in Radioactive's program spring of this year.
Yeah, like 2 months ago.
Back in the day.
Why don't you tell our listeners who haven't been a part of our program what it's all about?
Okay, so basically you start by pitching a story idea to Leela and Jenny. And then when you're admitted to the workshop, you get to spend some time working on a radio story.
Yep, we do all of the recording, interviewing, editing, and voicing for the stories ourselves, and we learn about what it takes to be a real radio journalist.
But Radioactive also works with schools and organizations around the Seattle area to teach teenagers about radio. This month, we're going to hear some of those collaborations.
Radioactive teamed up with journalists from Renton High School's newspaper, The Arrow, for a section in the paper called New American Voices.
New American Voices captures the experiences of young immigrants in America. Students in the ELL class,
which stands for English Language Learning,
wrote about how their lives have changed and some of the challenges they have faced.
Here are three new American voices.
The first voice you hear is Jocelyn. In her story, she switches between Spanish and English.
Yo soy de México. Yo vine aquí a los Estados Unidos en 2007, cuando tenía 9 años, y estaba en cuarto grado. When I came here, everything was different. There was too many trees, pretty houses, and a lot of grass, and there are not a lot of people outside. In Mexico, there is a lot of people outside, going to the tianguis. It's a place where you buy comida, fruta, o ropa, etc. Cuando yo llegué aquí, yo tenía mucho frío. Tenía como 2 camisas, una sudadera, una chamarra, y mi tío me dijo, no está nevando para que tengas todo eso. Yo le dije, es que no estoy acostumbrada. Yo en la noche me tapaba con 2 cobijas porque tenía mucho frío. Yo ya extrañaba a México, por lo caliente salir con la familia del centro o el pueblo de mis tíos, porque hacía mole y las fiestas de ahí. Los primeros días estaba estresada porque iba a la escuela y no sabía nada de inglés. Todo era muy diferente en la escuela. Me confundía en la escuela con el recreo y el lunch. In Mexico, there were people outside of the classrooms that bring food, all types of different food, enchiladas, tacos, fruta, or chips. You have to bring your own money, or you can bring your own food from home for lunch. Pero aquí en los Estados Unidos, tú tienes que cambiar de salón, y tú no pagas, a veces tienes free lunch. México y Estados Unidos tienen muchas cosas diferentes, pero me gustan los dos países. Ya no sé, me hace muy dificulta la escuela porque ya sé inglés y también ya sé dónde están mis clases, pero también en Estados Unidos hay partes bonitas donde ir. Pero no voy a olvidar a México, el país donde nací, donde estuve de chiquita y las cosas que pasé con mi familia, que también extraño lo que hacía y también las partes donde íbamos.
Leela and Jenny visited the school and gave a workshop about writing for radio.
The second voice you will hear is Bashir. He talks about his experience moving from Somalia to India.
Hi, my name is Bashir Omar Sheikh. My sister was discriminated in 6th grade by the Indian students, her classmates. She and I were new at that school and in the city to New Delhi, India. I was in 8th grade that with my cousin. He was there since 7th grade and he helped me a lot. I understand the school routine and all. But my sister was alone in her class. The first day of school is hard for everyone and it takes time to get along with it. My sister was new in her class with 32 Indian students and she was a little bit nervous. They thought that she can't speak in Hindi. Then they started calling her black. My sister would hear everything but didn't say anything to them because she was afraid and nervous. It's been more than 2 weeks and a new girl named Sana joined her class and they became best friends. Sometimes she became friend with the other students. Another Somalian girl was also discriminated, and they did the same thing to my sister. And this time my sister helped the new Somalian girl. My sister said, if she's black and Somalian, you can't talk to her. She's a human who needs help. She can't even speak in Hindi. She has got more problems than you. She can't even communicate with you people. I'm helping her not because she is Somalian or black. A friend in need is a friend indeed, who also became friends. This is what I saw in my school. All Indians are always nice. At first, they can be annoying, but after a while, they will be have a change of heart. In America, I saw that in high school, everyone respects you, even they didn't know you, and helps a lot.
The journalism and ELL classes...
English language learning.
Thank you. Both came to KUOW and got a tour of the station.
Then the students recorded their stories in KUOW studios.
There are like 50 people in the group, and they were all on my bus that morning, but it was a lot of fun.
The final voice we bring you is Rahel. She's from Ethiopia.
My name is Rahel Tala. I am an Ethiopian girl who lives in US. The first year I come to US, there was an Ethiopian girl in my class. I was really happy to see her because there was no one who I could talk to or ask questions on what I don't understand. Well, I guess she was happy to see me too because she was excited when she first saw me. I don't talk to anybody except her, even the teacher. I am the only one who is talking when we sit together. She doesn't talk back to me. I always was excited to go to that class because she was there. The teacher told her to sit with me so she can help me. Then she sat next to me. I felt more comfortable that day than I feel when I sit next to others. I didn't know what the teacher was teaching that time, so I thought she would understand me if I asked her about it. She just smiled at me instead. I thought she didn't know what I was saying, so I asked myself, why does she not answer anything I asked her, or why does she not ask me anything? She acted like Americans too, so I thought maybe she isn't Ethiopian, but looks like one. I mean, she had nothing that tells me she was Ethiopian, except her light brown skin, pure black and white eyes, and her hair, of course, was the only thing that told me she really was from my people. I wasn't so sure. After trying to talk to her for a week, then I quit talking. So instead of trying to talk in Amharic, I wanted to learn English and communicate with other people too. I had 2 English classes a day. I also get everyday after school help. Then I started to learn how to speak English. That way I don't need her anymore. Well, that was great for me because I wasn't scared of the Americans as I was when I first came. But why didn't she want to help me? So I wondered, was she really embarrassed that I don't speak English? Or what did she expect? I was new. Well, she at least smiled every time she saw me, and that was really nice of her. Now that I speak better English, I asked her if she was Ethiopian and if she speaks the language. So she said, yes, I am Ethiopian, and I can understand a little. After all, she was Ethiopian, and she wasn't embarrassed to talk to me or something like that. But she was just an Ethiopian girl who was born in the United States.
My mom was an immigrant back in the 90s. I did a story about that on the last podcast.
Let's hear some of it.
Let's not.
Let's.
And country, the airplane is dropped bombs in the cities and everywhere. So there's no safe to live there either. And I decided just to leave the city.
Why don't you introduce this next story off yet?
Okay. So up next, we're finna hear a story.
Wait.
About one...
Finna?
You know, finna.
No.
Fresh, ill, sick, dope, mobbing, YOLO, bomb, swag, sketchy,
slang of the month.
This month's slang word is finna. F-I-N-N-A. Okay, so you know going to is gonna. Mm-hmm. So fixing to is finna.
Right. So like I'm finna read up on my slang words so I can understand people.
Oh.
Hey, what you gonna do today? What you gonna do today? What you gonna do today?
Amna Al-Sadi was in Radioactive back in 2007. She now works as a producer with KOW's show Weekday.
But she wasn't always so sure about what she wanted to do. Our spring workshop participants had a chance to interview her about how she became a journalist. She spoke with Riley Gutman and Lajea Washington.
When I was in college, when I was in high school, I should say, I wanted to become a journalist because when I grew up, I always loved to write and read. I thought, oh, this is perfect. It's a perfect job for me because I can write and also get paid. Then when I entered college, I, like many people, started thinking, well, is this really the right thing for me? Is this really what I should be studying? And I decided that maybe I should actually try studying psychology. Well, I should say that, or I should preface this with the fact that I'm half American, half Iraqi. So my dad's Arab, and in the Middle Eastern culture, there are three professions: a doctor, an engineer, and a lawyer if you have to be not a doctor or an engineer. So with that in mind, there was always that pressure from my dad to go into something that was just what he considered to be a really rigorous academic subject to study, but then also a really lucrative career afterwards. Between the economic crisis of 2008 and just looking for a stable job or something that I could take beyond college. And then also I had a lot of friends who were pre-med, and there was a lot of pressure to do something that was academically worthy of their opinions. Comments about, oh, communication majors, they're like the easiest major, you hardly have to do anything. Things like, my writing class is so easy, and I wish all my classes were that easy. So I decided, okay, I'll study psychology instead.
Amna landed a position researching autism at a university lab.
I kind of had this, like, moment of crisis in the parking lot of the airport with my mom. We were at the airport to pick up my brother, and we were waiting for his flight to come in, and we're just sitting there, and I was talking to her about how, I'm really overwhelmed. I've packed on a lot academically, and I'm also kind of not sure that this is really what I want to do. I don't love it the way I love journalism and radio. And I still had a foot in the door at KUOW. I would call screen for the show Weekday. And they were talking to me already about, like, interning with them after after I graduated. I thought, man, I would love to intern with them, but if I continue down the path I'm going down now, I can't continue to, like, split myself. I have to pick one,
Amna started spending more time at KUOW, but she made one mistake she regrets.
So I did something really stupid and irresponsible, which is I didn't tell the lab that I wasn't coming back. I know. I'm embarrassed just thinking about it. I did it not right away. The whole summer and a little bit into fall, I didn't let them know that I wasn't coming back. I was really, really scared of looking like I was backing out or letting them down. Of course, by not saying anything, I looked like even more of a flake. But after you have experienced something, looking back, there's no way to really know what you would really do. Of course, now that I have a job as a producer, I feel like, with the exception of not telling the lab that I wasn't coming back until like a couple months later, I wouldn't go back and change anything. If you don't believe in what you're doing, or if you don't love what you're doing, or if you don't find fulfillment in what you're doing. You're just not going to succeed in it in the way you want to succeed. Just because certain friends or peers felt that one path was more prestigious or challenging does not mean that it's the most fulfilling or rewarding. And it's up to me to make that decision.
And that is it for May's show.
A huge thanks to the teachers of Renton High School, Derek Smith and Shannon Pena, and the Arrow editors, Vanessa Abinajar and Ksenia Ivnova, for letting us be a part of their project. If you want to hear more from the Arrow's New American Voices project, you can go to Radioactive website, kow.org/radioactive. That's http://.
And also thanks to Jenny Asarno and Leela Kataya, Radioactive's program producers, and Amina Alsadi for letting us interview her.
And finally, to you, dear listeners, thank you for your support. Keep listening, never stop. Be here next month. For Radioactive, I'm Yalfia Bazabe.
And I'm Ann Kane. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page at there's no at for Facebook. Radioactive Youth Media.
And don't forget to stop by my birthday party. Radioactive Youth Media.